Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 32, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman interview professional bass angler Bobby Barrick. Barrick is renowned for his casting skills and for frog fishing, in addition to his fishing videos. Tackle Time features Pico Lure's wide gap belly hook with the Easy Keeper coil system. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your dance host, Brad Wiegman, along with my co-host this week is going to be the dance, the dancer, the caster, I probably should say, Bobby Barrick.
Yes.
Yes. So he was over there dancing.
I used to do the dancing thing, actually. I did. At the Eclipse Club over there in it was in San Leandro. Yeah, when I was actually I wasn't even 21. I wasn't even supposed to be in the place. It was great. I mean, that kind of money when you're a kid, it was unbelievable. Are we supposed to be talking about this?
Is this a G-rated show?
Hey, I said yeah, okay. Let's move on to the fishing. Let's talk about Pico Pops.
Dude, the expectation level of the people that listen to our podcast show is this high.
Okay.
And we were down here somewhere.
Okay.
Like way
well,
down
here. Let's get out of the gutter and let's get up to the top shelf.
Man,
let's do
you
this.
Know what? I guess we will just start with you moving to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have boots on, so I'm clueless. Why'd you move to Texas? I mean, why?
Why did I move to Texas? All my family's in Texas. And it's a long story, but the eight brothers and sisters started the whole thing. And they all moved out to California one at a time, tried to go to the riches, the land of the riches and all that kind of stuff. Well, they all went out there. They all ended up back in Texas. But however, somehow, some way, my mom met dad and we ended up out there. And I'm now 56. And for no kidding, for 50 years, I've been trying to figure out how to get back here. And used to spend a lot of summer vacations back here. Everybody for graduation in high school, all my other friends went to Hawaii. Me and my best friend Shane, we went to Texas. We went to Maud, Texas. We had a big old crate full of lime green plano tackle boxes that were, we had every lure that you could think of that we brought on that doggone airplane. And that's what we did for our graduation. So I've always tried to get back here. But when you live in California, it's like you're handcuffed there. You can't leave because you're just in shackles and chains. And then you got to figure out how to get out of the shackles and chains so that you can breathe in another state. And we chose Texas and I'm so glad that we did. And, but there's no other state that we would rather be in.
Yeah. This is, God's country.
We love it. Well, yeah. Earlier you said Beaver Lake, we're God's country. Well, we think that Maud, Texas is God's country, okay? So we have
God disagreed right off the bat. No, God has a big streak.
He does.
And it starts in the Ozarks and it runs right to Texas,
I understand.
And it may skip some of Missouri, but then it hits Lake of the Ozarks in the winter. Oh,
I understand.
That's a great place.
I understand.
Yeah,
I agree.
So that's why you moved back to Texas, and you know, you've done some other things that are interesting. You know, you've had your own get this. I was watching one of your videos, and he actually, like everyone says, he's a great caster. And so tonight he was showing me a fancy dancy, even had a name for it, cast. And
it's not so, fancy dancy. It's called the Circle S cast. Been calling it the Circle S cast since about 1985.
Fancy dancy cast. That's what it is. All and right. I mean to tell you, he's putting it in between like a boll weevil couldn't get in there where he put it. And I think he scared a raccoon off, and love bugs were everywhere. And he was putting it there. But you are known for casting your frogs into places that they just don't see a lot of frogs. And before you answer that question, I happen to know you have a new frog coming out, and you better talk about it, or we're going to have an arm wrestling contest.
Okay. Oh, man, I didn't do any push-ups this morning. I might lose this deal. Yeah, we got the new frog coming out. We got the new frog rod that was just released. It's Tackle Tech made the frog rod that I've always wanted. Oh. You know, frog, I'll tell you what, Brad. There's not a lot of guys that can say that they averaged fishing, being on the water fishing, 300 plus days a year. And I did guiding tournaments, R&D, fun fishing, 300 plus days a year for probably about 16 or 17 years. And I don't, I was doing an interview one time and Stacy was listening to my wife and I said, yeah, well, you know, there's probably about, you know, well, there's 365 in a year. And I said, yeah, I'm on the water about 300. She goes, you're not off the water for 60 days. Are you kidding me? It's more like 320, 340. We lived on the California Delta. And the boat's in the backyard. So I'd be on the water for 2 hours a day if I was guiding or if I was fun fit or getting ready for a tournament. A lot of times when I put the boat, you know, I'd always fake myself out. I'm just going to go out for a few hours. Well, you know, I'm coming back. Got to put the boat lights in and come back by the moonlight. But I have no discipline when it comes to, well, I'm just going to go out for a couple hours. No, nobody wants a clock put on them. But yeah, so lots and lots and lots, just thousands of days and tens of thousands of hours of research, R&D, what went right, what went wrong, frog fishing, wake bait fishing, big swim bait fishing, jig fishing, drop shot fishing, sink, all of it. And the topwater thing is what, that's my passion. I've always been a sucker for topwater. Ever since I was a kid, ever since I started, right. Ever since you read the covers of Field and Stream, the covers of Outdoor Life, the ones that caught your eye were the one of the little Pico Pop or the Papa or the Zara Spook, and the bass was sitting underneath it. And I mean, it was a drawing, but you stared at that cover and you lived that cover. And I did, every chance I got, I tried to catch a bass on a topwater bait. I was just a topwater junkie. So that's where it all kind of started. And then with the Bill Plummer Super Frog and the Man's Rat and the Snag Proof Frog and the Snagless Sallies and the weed walkers, a Johnson Silver Spoon, all of it. We did all of it. If it's on top and it comes through lily pads or comes through duckweed or cladophore or milfoil, whatever, hydrilla, eladia, you know, it doesn't matter. Any of that kind of stuff, that vegetation that grows to the surface, bass are going to learn that at a very young age. But the problem was getting them on and then getting them in your hand so you can get a picture of them.
Right.
And it was just an evolution. It was a whole process. And this rod that I have just done, that I've just finished, it took us 13 months to get this sucker.
Wow.
The way I really wanted it. And it was a lot of back and forth. I've filmed so much. I film my clients. I film myself. We had, Bobby Barrick's Bass Class on YouTube. We do a lot of that stuff and lots and lots and lots of film. And when I did this rod, I mean, I've seen it through the years. My clients, when I knew I would get in the back of the boat and I say, okay, throw it that patch of grass, whether it's in Big Break, Frank's Track, wherever it may be, north end of Clear Lake, where the tournament's going to be won, the FLW tournament's going to be won in a couple of weeks. Where I did TFIT 1 and TFIT 2, there's some great shots of evening frog fishing at Clear Lake in the north end. And that is where the FLW tournament is going to be won in 2 weeks, right there, because the grass is there. It's the first time it's been there since we shot that film. Wow. So that's where I want to jump on a plane or get my truck and tow it back there and try to win that thing. But I know there's got to be a couple of guys that are going to be on that pattern. Anyway, but it's just when it comes to the whole, when it comes to the frog and heavy cover and vegetation and all that kind of stuff. Again, the filming thing and what went right, what went wrong, when you set the hook, the load of the rod, the shape of the rod, on impact, did the fish leave the water? How deep was that fish? It was a 4-pounder. It was a 6-pounder. She was in 12 feet of water. When you swang, you launched that fish 2.5 feet. That should not ever happen. We can't do that. Because what happens... when you swing and you pop that fish, especially a pre-spawn fish, it's March. Full moon's on March 10th, and you're throwing a frog on the 7th, 8th, 9th leading up to it. And she's around there. She's still kind of edgy. She's still kind of hungry. And you can antagonize that fish into eating a frog around the spawning area. This fish could be 4 pounds. She could be 14 pounds. You don't know. But the thing is, she's probably going to be in less than 18 inches of water. If she eats that thing off the surface and it's a nice, she's staring at it, and she just does the old lower the jaw, and she does that deal right there, this fish is pretty much on the surface. With a rod, with a frog rod that's got too much pop, too much juice, when you hammer this fish, you can actually make this fish leap. When you set the, if I filmed you from the side and I'm watching you, and I watch as your rod, you drop your rod to 9 o'clock, you swing, you're squared up, you swing. I always tell my clients, try to knock your hat off. Don't swing to the side. Don't do the ole like we're bullfighters in Spain. Let's not do that. Uh-huh. Let's try to knock our hat off. So I'm on the side. I'm filming you. I'm not filming the frog. I'm filming you go through the motions of this right here. We're Derek Jeter. We're trying to turn a double play in the ninth inning, and this is the game. We're going to win the World Series or we're going to lose it, depending on this guy's footwork, depending on the technique here. So it's the same thing with, you know, a big bass just ate the frog, and I'm going to film you as an angler, and you drop your rod to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you set the hook, you get impacted about 9:30, 10 o'clock, that rod starts to load. It's a nice parabolic rod. Right. It's got a lot of pop, it's not a fast taper rod. It's a nice parabolic bend, and that rod just starts to arc, and we're starting to see the C form, and then all of a sudden, if it doesn't have that nice parabolic bend, that nice arc, then what's going to happen? If it's too fast of a taper, you're going to see that rod. It's going to be almost, it's going to be like an L. It's going to be a semi-L, almost a J. And then you're going to see that J, because this rod got too much pop. It's a J form. When you set at 10:30, 11 o'clock, when you set, we're going to watch and we're going to break it down frame by frame by frame. That J is going to turn into an I. And once that J rod turns into an I rod, over. Your chances of landing that fish are about 50%. Wow. We do not want to move that fish. It's a 3.5, if it's a 9, we don't want to move that fish. We want to swing on that fish. We want to get enough impact. We want that rod to load up and then get to about 75-25, 80-20, 75-25, right in there. And we want it to get to a certain point where now it starts to load. By that time, she's already realized she's got ouch, and she's digging the other way. So you're good. That fish has not left the water. You have not turned your J into an I, so you got a shot of landing that fish. That was a long explanation, but
wow,
I'm sorry.
Tell us a little bit about the frog then. Bobby's Perfect Frog.
Yeah, so.
Where'd they come up with that name? Why didn't they name it Brad's Perfect Frog?
You know, we said, what do you think of Brad over there in Arkansas? Said, well, he's got some crazy ideas, crazy concepts and all that. Let's do this first and then we'll get back to Brad. We're going to talk to you in the next gen two.
That'll be a frog.
Yes.
That's like blind.
We'll have all that eyes. Stuff. We'll put a frog with some hair on it. We'll have hair on your frog. My frog's bald, of course.
Get this. Mine will be blind and have hair. And then that way the mouse won't see, the frog won't see the bass coming.
Yes.
And they'll eat it.
A whole different concept. We'll talk to the boys about that.
You're talking about rod modification. I'm talking about making a blind lure. So it can't see the fish come and get away.
No, I understand.
Yeah, you're overthinking.
Man.
Like you're spending way, way too much time about this scientific method of that.
No.
All right, let's hear about it.
We saw the magic of that frog. Golly. I saw the magic of that frog when I was in high school. Right. And we would sneak into Ohlone College, and there was a security guard there. He was by the, we'd go into the cafeteria, we'd come up the backside, we had our rods, and we had the Bill Plummer Super Frog.
Right.
And this was like in 81, 82. And we would go to Ohlone College, and it's big glass, that's the cafeteria, and it faced the pond, big willow trees hanging over, and it always had duckweed all over it. Oh my God, except for in the middle. And we could get, we knew it was, we had to drive 18 miles one way. That's almost 40 miles up and back, just so we can get three bites. It was, it's a sickness, right? And so we would go over there, and we knew it was a bust, especially the guy. He would always sit in the corner with the, he had a book. He had these black glasses. He's kind of an overweight guy, but he'd still bust your butt. So anyway, it was a three-shot deal. We'd go up there, first willow tree right there, and throw there, get that one, be quiet. Hopefully it's not a big one that jumps and all that stuff, right, making too much noise. We wanted a big one, but maybe not a big one. Get the big one in the back because, you know, it's distance. And so we get that one, and then we, you know, and then we take turns. Okay, that's my shot now. Okay, go to the back. I got one. Ah, nice. Shut up. And then by that time, flashlights, you know, and we're busted. You guys, you boys, you're the same kids. I can't kick your ass. You know, so, but it's so, yeah, it's been a sickness forever. But,
yeah, Bobby's perfect frog. We better get back to tell people about
this.
It.
This is where it all came.
Oh,
so
all right. Yeah.
The perfect frog. So then I started, that was the Bill Plummer Super Frog. And I would always, I'd throw that thing with a 5'6" pistol grip, right? Something that Jimmy Houston would throw.
Yeah.
Jimmy Houston threw a spinnerbait with these rods. So why can't we throw a frog with it, right? We didn't know. You know, right. We didn't have the internet like they do now. Right. We had to wait for Bassmaster Magazine if we wanted to learn anything.
Right.
So, or Outdoor Life was kind of eh. But Sports of Field, eh. But yeah, we did the 5'6", and then Berkeley came out with the lightning rod and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
Hank Parker had his little, damn, oh man, I got it. This one's stout. Oh yeah, it's a good frog rod. Yeah, whatever. All that stuff was just, nowadays you look at that and you go, oh my gosh, you guys were like so far behind.
But some of them were just magic with what they had, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? They adapted.
Yeah.
But your adaptation is making a better rod and making the perfect frog.
Yeah. You know what? When we, this is what happened. Connie Ellers and Harry, they own Snagproof. Their father started it back in 64.
Right.
It's 56 years old. Snagproof is 50, almost 60 years old. Oh my gosh, where was I going with that?
The owners of Snagproof.
Yeah. So Connie, I told her, I lost some big fish and this was after we got Braid and we started really improving our numbers. But we still had a problem with hookup. And when I lost one in Disappointment Slough one time that was a mid-teen fish. It
wow.
jumped. This thing jumped, Brad. I mean, she was in some duckweed. It was late. It was late November, like probably around Thanksgiving. Water temperature in the low 50s. My favorite frog temperature is 52 to 58 because when you get bit on a frog, they eat it. They don't mess around with it. And I get this thing on, this absolute gorilla, and she doesn't really, she tries to jump. She gets about this much out.
Right.
Gill plates. You see big. And I had, at that time, I had caught a couple of, I've caught seven in the teens. To date, but at that time, I think I had two or three. I know what a teen fish looks like. This was a mid-teen fish. And I got her on a frog, and I got this one, and she hit the water, she dove, and came off on a loaded rod.
Wow.
When they come off on a loaded, when you're swinging, that rod loads, that's a caught fish as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
If it comes off, it's usually something you've done wrong as an angler. This one here just showed herself, about half of her body came in. She and digs out into towards the channel and comes off on a load of. I went, oh no, you got to be kidding me. I think Chris was with me, Ball. And I said, yo, God, that thing was huge. Look at this. He goes, oh my God, I've never seen a frog. And when I got it in, one of the hooks was through the thigh of the frog.
Uh huh.
And we had the old, I think they were Eagle Claw hooks in these frogs. They were just a disaster. We sharpened them things, man. I saw Roland Martin at a show. And I said, show me how to sharpen a hook. And I took what Roland's advice on sharpening a hook. And, oh, my frog, you just barely touch them and your fingers would bleed. And so that's how I had all my frog hooks. And This thing went through the thigh. I said, you know what? That's it. We're done. I'm never going to lose a fish like that again. Went home, pulled the skirt out, cut the thighs off. And so, so now what am I going to do? So now I run the skirt through there. Well, I got that little, it's a spinnerbait skirt. So it's got one collar. And so I said, well, it covers up one side. The water's going to get in the other. You know what? Let's put another spinnerbait skirt on that. Another spinnerbait collar.
Right.
So I did. So I clipped another collar, opened up my little J tube, open it up, put the skirt in there. Now I've got two collars. And so I ran that skirt up through the back of the frog, and then I just kind of just wiggled it, you know, a little force, hold on to one side, pull the other side, hold on one side, pull the other side, until it just, that spinnerbait tube would just come out a little bit on both sides. And I take a little bit of crazy glue, just a tad, just one drop, and let it kind of move around, one drop, let it move around, and then let it dry, flip the frog over, one drop, I don't want to get the skirt. I don't want to get the skirt involved with the crazy glue. And that was a perfect frog.
Wow.
And so I would tell Connie at Snagproof, I'd say, hey, send me some brown bullfrog, send me some cicadas, some black and Tweety, but don't assemble the frog. Just don't put the skirt in there. Don't put the rattles in there and all that. The rattle, that was another one. I lost another giant, another humongous fish. So the first thing that I do with all my frogs is I take the rattle out. I take the rattle out because I had another giant one. You don't lose a lot of giants unless you fish for giants. And I that's what I've always done. I fish for big ones. I'd much rather catch two big ones than 35 little guys.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's always been that way. But I had another giant one on in Big Break. And this was maybe not a teener, but a giant fish, one over 10 for sure. And it came off. And what in the heck? How did that fish come off on a loaded? When they come off on a loaded rod, I gotta let's look at the tape. You know, back then I wasn't filming a lot, but I got that one back in, and that rattle was stuck.
Oh,
like this.
Oh,
it was absolutely perpendicular with the bottom of that hook, and it was stuck in there. And that frog could not collapse on that one hook.
Right.
And that's why I lost that big fish. So I made sure that that never happened again.
Right.
I'm never going to lose another big fish because my rattle gets in the way. Yeah, you might get a bite or two more, but I think a lot of times you get more bites because you don't have a rattle in there.
Okay.
It's the stealthy thing. Dragonflies and mice and all that kind of stuff, they don't rattle when they're going across the pads or they're going across vegetation. But I mean, you could break everything down. You can look at it one way, look at it the other way. You can build a case for both. I mean, it doesn't
matter. So you modified yours.
Absolutely.
And that's where the development of having your new perfect frog came from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, cut the thighs off, put a cool hook in it. Gamagatsu came out with the frog hook that they still... I mean, this was in the, oh my gosh, year just 90s, I think.
Wow.
And they still have that. And,
same hook.
Uh-huh. And the skirt. And then, you know, water temperature and all that kind of stuff. If the water temperature was below 53, if we're throwing a frog 48 to 53, we would go six strands on both sides.
Yeah.
Six strands. If the water temperature was below 48, we go three and three. Three strands on the left, three strands on the right. Favorite color when the water temperature was really super cold like that would be black. Black, black, yellow.
Yeah.
Coldest I've ever caught frogfish. Coldest water I ever caught, 43 degrees.
Wow.
I caught four frogfish that day.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a rod that you've made better.
Yep.
And there's a frog that you made.
American Bait Works.
Better.
I didn't mention them. Yeah.
Yep. And now there's a rain suit that, once again, I'm getting tired of saying it, better.
Yes.
So tell us, there's a rain suit out there now, and you've helped develop part of the design on that suit. So tell us the name of the company and tell us about the part that you helped design.
Okay. You know, you're a fisherman. I mean, we're all fishermen. Everybody that's listening to this are fishermen. It's so we don't do we take anything out of the package, tie it on, and throw it? We always got to put our own little thing on it, right? Everybody's, right. We're fishing, no matter today's technology and as good as everything is, it's like still you got to open up a packet. There's very few baits that you can open up and just tie on and throw. And anyway, so we always got to tinker with everything. I told these guys, Buck and Bass is the name of the company that came up with this rain gear. And they contacted me a while back and they said, hey, what's the most... What bothers you the most about rain gear?
Right.
I said, wet elbows. I can't stand it. Wet elbow. Wet forearms become wet elbows, become wet armpits, right. Becomes a wet chest, becomes miserable at 10 o'clock. I want to go home.
Right.
I want to go. Actually, I started wanting to go home at about 8:45. But I'm trying to be a manly guy. And because my partner...
You are a manly guy.
I try to be manly. I try to fake it. And I try to be a manly guy. And I don't want to... Because my partner's not whining yet. So I'm going to man up here. And I'm not going to say anything. But they asked me the question. And I told them. And they said, so how do you stop that? I said, look. This is what needs to happen. You need to stop all water intrusion around the wrist.
Right.
Because if you get wet internally, and if you're in Minnesota, if you're in New York, if you're, you're in California, it doesn't matter. If you're in Hawaii and it's 50 degrees and it's raining and you throw some wind on this, Lake Superior, Shasta in California, Oroville, Lake of the Ozarks,
yep,
in January. And you get some sleet coming sideways, and if that stuff goes under your sleeves and penetrates in there, and all of us wear cotton long sleeve shirts, which the wicking process now starts, and right. Once that water gets into your wrist area and gets underneath that outer layer and gets to that cotton long sleeve shirt that most people have got on underneath, whether it's your long johns or whatever it may be, it just pulls all that water right up in here. Now your elbow's wet. Now your armpit. Now it works towards the chest, and then it works down towards your crotch. And now, once it gets down below there, it's like, dude, I'm ready to go. How about you?
Let's keep this G rated.
We're not 22 anymore. Are you? Yeah. So anyway, so they said, okay. So they went to work on that. The first thing that they designed was the cuffs.
Right.
And they call them the dry lock cuffs. And it's like a double dam type of a design. They've right. got some neoprene in there. And that tightens up first. And then it's got an outer layer that tightens up also. So it's got double protection on the wrist. And it's amazing. Like, you know, if you're a tournament fisherman or if you're getting a fish out of the water and you've got your rain gear on and you reach down to get a walleye, you reach down to get a bass, you reach down to get a smallmouth, whatever it is, a crappie, and you submerge your hand into the lake and pull it right. back up, you're not going to have any wicking type of a situation because it keeps the water out of your elbow area.
Nice.
And that's where the problem starts. That's where right. your day gets shortened. All right. And so they started there and with the iron shell jacket and that guy flew out to my house and he goes, what do you think of this? And I said, you could have mailed it. He goes, nope. He goes, well, and then they did the pockets and I, you know, how do you stand and how do you know, we started breaking down video and all that kind of stuff. Anglers standing at the live
tank. Yeah, I heard about this.
How to got it standing next to a truck, a Chevy, a Ford, all of them. I mean, they broke it down
right.
every aspect that they possibly could. And then the materials that they got, you know, he's got the guy, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to mention names or anything, but he's got a guy from Toronto that is just so knowledgeable with materials and all that stuff. And he said, look, this has never been done before. We're going to put this together. And the industry probably doesn't think it makes sense. I know it makes sense. Right. And Will said, go for it. And he did. And that's what they have now.
Yeah, that's Will George. And he's kind of the man. I tell you what, I've never seen someone so excited about rain gear apparel mm-hmm. and knowledgeable about it, and he's actually like Sam Rayburn Lake, and he's going around talking with the anglers, and he's showing the products, and you can kind of see on their face like, whoa, look at this, like, wow, why didn't they do that before?
Yeah.
And how about a hood that doesn't choke you?
Yeah.
Put like a mixed martial art grip on your yes. neck, and you almost pass out as you're driving down the lake.
Absolutely. And that's if you've got a 9.9 Merc or you've got a 250 Merc on the back. It doesn't matter. If you got a 12-foot aluminum with a 9.9 Merc and you have an old school rain hood, it's going to be, you're running down the lake, and, oh, your kid's talking to you. Oh, well, I can't hear you. I got wind interference going here. I got rain interference. I can't even listen to my 9-year-old tell me what's going on. The stump that's out in front of me, I can't even hear him right now. It's a joke, right?
Oh, my God.
But you're
God.
Right. These loved guys.
I'd like to see you in a John boat with a 9.9 zipping down the lake.
Oh, been there, done that many times.
And jumping on the front of that thing, and it's got plywood in the front. And you're in some way backwoods thing, and you jump up there in that rain suit, and it's raining, and through the fog, you see Bobby appears, and he makes this cast, and it's low to the water, and it's really low, and it zips, and it's some sort of fancy cast, and it goes across the water. It almost skips, but it doesn't. It gets to the very end of the cast, and it lands gently. It doesn't come up and land plop. It goes poof, like that.
You just, butter it in there.
Just poof. And all of a sudden, frog comes up and looks at it, and he's saying, "That's a blind frog."
You wrecked it. I thought you were going to go with the first twitch. So now here's it. Now that was a great. I had you look when you're doing a seminar, and you have people. You're on the tank and where right. it is, and what you want to do is you want to create a visual image with your mouth. You want to create a visual image for everybody that's listening. You want to put them in that moment that you're talking about. And you had me there, but then you screwed it up with the whole thing. This is the deal. With a frog, you make the money throw. Now, when you make that money throw, it lands right next to that cypress tree. It lands right next to that dock with some shade on it. It's 12:15 in the afternoon. You've been waiting for the shade to get on that left-hand side because it's it is April 7th. Full moon is on April 10. Big female spawning underneath that dock, but you have to have the shade on that east side over there. So you've waited for this. You make the money throw. You let the frog sit. Your rod tip is down almost at the tip, almost touching the water in a 7 o'clock position. Both of your feet are facing, they are perpendicular with your frog. They are pointing right towards your frog. Your shoulders are squared up. You are ready. And then it's just a quick little twitch. The nose bob. It is the most, that's why casting accuracy is so important. Because if you can put it, again, I always say, if you can put it in the kitchen, if you can put it in the refrigerator in the kitchen, and then just that one little twitch, she'll open the door and scoop that sucker. Guaranteed.
There you have it. Coming from the frog master, Bobby. Hey, tell them if they want to find out more about your rod, where they can buy your rod, where can they go, and, of course, the frog, and, of course, the rain suit.
Yeah, you can go to bobbybarrick.com. It's B-O-B-B-Y, B as in boy, A-R-R-A-C-K.com. You can go to bobbybarrick.com, or you can go to Fisherman's Warehouse.
All right.
Either or, and you can get the rod there. The frogs... Because of COVID, we had some guys that were making the molds.
Right.
And everything was right on schedule. And this is how meticulous American Bait Works is. That's why I'm so glad. In the beginning, I wasn't glad that they got it, but now I'm so glad that they pay so much attention to detail. We had the molds, but when they took the frogs out of the molds and they set them up to paint them,
right.
They were just tilted just a little bit. So some of the belly paint would go up the shoulder and they canned it. And then COVID hit. So the guys that did the molds, it took, it were so, it 5 months behind. So everything we were going to have an April 1 release,
right?
But they they were not going to release. They're, as far as they're concerned, they get one shot to. Snagproof has had some problems over the last 3 years. The quality control, the product has just been a disaster. It's changed hands 3 times.
Right.
And we got the right guys with it now.
Okay.
They're fishermen. They know what it takes to make a great product. Not a good product, a great product. And that's what they're doing. And it impressed me so much when they shut it down. They go, we got the molds, but they're 2 millimeters off. And so we're going to shut it down. And then COVID hit. And it's like, oh my gosh. So, and then they've also got Scum Frog, Freedom Tackle, Halo Rods.
Right.
And a few other things. But so they said, look, Bobby, everything got so busy. We got to put the Snagproof thing on the back burner. We'll get back to it. We're looking for a 2021 release on the new product. Okay. And it's going to be, I've been playing with the prototypes for the last year.
Right.
And they're awesome. They're so good. We got rid of that ITT tube. The plastic is perfect. The weights, we used to have problems with the weights coming out. They've got a new system with the weights. It's just awesome.
Okay. And so then the rain suit?
The rain suit, Buck and Bass.
Buckandbass.com, I believe.
Buckandbass.com. Yep.
Yep. So there you have it from the Frog Master. We have learned everything there is to know about frog fishing. But most importantly, frog fishing is about the moment. Being there, putting it in the right spot, and experiencing the bite, isn't it? It's the bite. Bobby goes fishing for the bite.
It's all about the bite. Once you get the bite, here, reel this thing in. Give me another rod. I want to try and get the next bite. It's all about the bite, literally. That should be the title of a book.
Yeah, should be a title of a podcast.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for being on the show. We could have went on and on, but Bobby's got to go fishing.
Someday we'll do this and we'll talk about crappie.
Crappie. We're going to cover all kinds of stuff. We're going to do it again.
Yes, 10-4.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass jig heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, welcome to this week's Tackle Time. Great show about frog fishing. Let me tell you what Pico Lures have got. We have got a wide gap belly hook that's available with an easy keeper coil system on it, and you can fish almost any type of frog bait you want. I personally like the Cream Lures Doodad. Frog bodied bait. Tell you what you do. You take your frog and you put it on that easy keeper coil system. It stays pinned to that hook. Run that hook up through the middle of that bait and just skin hook it back in. It's as weedless as it gets. Weights on the bottom of your lure. Keeps it looking just like a frog in the water. Fish it slow, fish it fast, fish it high, fish it deep. Anything you want to do. Available in this thing from 3-0s, 4-0s, 5-0s. Super strong hooks will horse out anything you want to hook it to.
There you go. Thanks, Mitch. Oh, what can I tell you? Hey, thanks everyone for listening to the show. Bobby and I had so much fun in this. He'll probably have to come back as a guest. But yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Please subscribe, rate our show. For Mitch and myself.
Tell us what you want to hear about.
Absolutely. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.